keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch a scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind. Oh no, it's ponderoso. Dope so, no overdose. Cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd no, we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Welcome back to the show. We got a crazy one in store for you today, hopefully. Got plenty of topics to go over, plenty of controversy going on, and you know, also some distractions here and there that we're going to talk about. And you know, like always, we're going to be giving you the anti-establishment view of the news, at least from our perspective, and hopefully it resonates with everyone listening to the show tonight. If anyone feels like joining in and talking with us or bringing up some new ideas, maybe something that we overlooked, maybe you want to talk about something we're talking about, maybe you want to disagree with us. Either way, give us a call, 718-717-8296, and you could reach the show, and you'll be broadcast out to the thousands of people that are tuning in tonight, and join the debate. You could also join us on Facebook, the Anti-Media, Twitter, Instagram, all the social media things. You can search us out. You'll find us. I'm also joined tonight by my co-host, DB Schwartz. How you doing, man?
Doing well, man. What's all the breakup? Where are you calling from?
Oh, sorry. You're hearing a little bit of interference there?
I would say a lot of it, but if you're at the office, maybe they're finally on to you, man.
Let me try to figure it out real quick. Hopefully we can get the audio fixed. I didn't think we'd have any issues tonight, but... what are you hearing, actually? Static?
Well, you're just garbled. I mean, you just have a lot of distortion, but maybe it's the equipment. I don't know.
Oh, you know what?
There you go. Now you're good.
I think I may know what it is. We'll work on it as we get through this show. Yeah, we got so much stuff going on. Make sure you check out UCY.TV. That's the channel that you're on right now, the website. All kinds of awesome other hosts on this show, on this channel as well. Besides us, we're not the only ones. There's plenty of other awesome radio hosts, and they go pretty much 7 days a week, all times of the day. You can just click back on UCY.TV and check out all the other people that are broadcasting. And if you miss any of our shows, I think we had a great one on Wednesday. We had we played some music from a local artist here in San Diego that provides us with our intro music, and he also stuck around and tuned into the show and had some commentary on the political stuff as well, because the cool thing was is that his music comes with a message too. And so he stuck around and we talked to him. Any show you should go back to, it's the one from last Wednesday. I think we had a great show.
Shout out to Ponder, because I know, like, that theme song we've been using, Nick's like 2 years old, and you could see his growth as an artist from his new song, for sure.
Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely. And we're thinking about changing up the intro song to his new song.
You should definitely change it, man.
So what do you think about that, DB?
Hey, I think it's a done deal. It's better. He's better. He's more talented now. And why not show that?
Yeah, I think you had a good point. So we'll start working on that. If Jules is listening in, sorry, we're making more work for you. But soon in a couple of weeks, we'll try to get that implemented in and do our thing. I'm also joined here in the studio by Jake Anderson. How you doing, man?
Good, buddy. Just, getting ready to get my Donald Trump signs ready and go out, hit the streets supporting Donald Trump.
And you love Trump, don't you?
Yeah, no, I'm a huge Biff supporter. Biff from Back to the Future.
Biff for president. Somebody's got to get that meme. Get SM on it.
I mean, I think with Donald Trump as president, we'll finally get my dream of the United States flag will actually be the 50s corporate logo flag that will be ordained, and all other flags will be burned.
I heard his running mates El Chapo.
Yeah, they're gonna have that'll be a good antithetical relationship there. It'll be like the Joe Biden to Obama, except being killed by him.
We're also joined on the line by Manny Aguilar out of Los Angeles. How are you doing tonight, Manny?
I'm doing pretty good. Keeping up with. Stories around the world, obviously, talking about El Chapo, and Chapo actually wants to knock him out because he said every Mexican is a drug dealer and a low life and all that. So he took that an insult, and now that he's escaped, you never know. That guy's got connections everywhere. You know, he's got plenty of money.
The reason El Chapo escaped from prison was to go after Trump.
No,
I'm just kidding.
He's asking
for it. Now that kind of. So, well, I'll say hello in Spanish to all your listeners. Aquí están en la estación de radio en el Antimedia con el conductor Nick Burnaby y su host, básicamente, desde Minnesota, TV Shorts, y también con el otro conductor que está en el estudio, Jake Anderson. Saludos a todos y espero que sigan escuchando el show de Antimedia con los gangsters, the anti-media, and todo esto, but you know. But
hey,
yeah,
gracias.
Gracias.
Manny, thanks for that, man, and I just want to throw it out there, dude. We support all the Mexicans out there, man. Anyone out there that is, first language Spanish, even if you're tuning in and you don't understand everything we're saying, thank you all for tuning in. We're not prejudiced against anyone. We think Trump's an asshole. So first, before we get into this Trump thing, and
Trump's the worst.
And after Trump, I want to get into the electoral system in general. But first, I do want to talk about El Chapo, because to me, this guy, he's pretty much the biggest drug kingpin in the world, and it's the second time he's escaped prison. But first off, I want to talk about the money that's been spent to try to track this guy down, supposedly to track him down and all that. In the U.S., we send billions and billions of dollars to Mexico every year to fight guys like El Chapo, to track these guys down and, to take them out. I want to know why this fool is sitting in some prison where they could just tunnel right into it. That to me is the first red flag. The second thing is, how many billions of dollars went into tracking this guy down from the U.S. perspective, from our own tax dollars and going into that? Only for him to just be, to supposedly miraculously escape out of this prison, man. And then you look at from the Mexican side of things, and they got this huge drug war going on. And, a lot of people in Mexico probably saw when El Chapo got captured, they're probably like, finally, they're actually doing something right. And then now he's escaped, and now it's like, oh, well, what the hell's going on, really? And I read an article today, that had a couple interviews from people from Mexico, and they were talking about, there's a good chance that the Mexican government knew that El Chapo was going to escape. In fact, there was another article about how the FBI had information about his plans to escape, and nothing was really done about it, dude. And you can't sit here and think, oh, it was just some cool Shawshank Redemption type of escape, and he tunneled through the ground and all that. No, dude, this was orchestrated by much higher levels up. You don't just tunnel into a prison like
he
that.
He waited until the thunder and lightning hit, and that's when he struck the rock down under the tunnel.
Exactly. He waited for the
he climbed through 3 miles of shit and then waited for the lightning.
So, Manny, what do you think about this El Chapo guy? What do you think about this escape, man?
Well, because we have a narco gobierno, obviously, and stuff like that. I believe that there's people inside the system from captain up that, you know, basically took some bribes, including the help of the military, the Turkish military, obviously, and stuff like that. And those are the people that helped him. There's no way he could have done it by himself. You know damn well. It's just, you know, and he is the biggest guy, you know, he is the kingpin and stuff like that, you know, so that's what makes him dangerous, you know, and stuff like that, because when he says he's going to do something, he actually does, you know, he's not just talking and stuff like that, yeah.
Exactly, man. And so I sit here and I'm thinking, like, the first thing I'm thinking is, like, you know, when the military-industrial complex of the U.S., they hear that El Chapo escaped, they start salivating because they're like, oh, man, that means that we can continue to send billions of dollars in weapons to the Mexican government to keep fighting this El Chapo guy. You know, and they say, oh, we can keep stealing money from the Americans, keep raiding their paychecks and keep, you know, using it to send arming up the Mexican government because, you know, if you get rid of the boogeyman, then, you know, then what happens? You know, and so
maybe they let the boogeyman out.
Yeah. And you know, the U.S. had knowledge of plans for his escape, dude. And you know what he was doing in some prison where it obviously wasn't very secure. I mean, that's
movie scripts are way more prevalent in real life than people think they are.
Exactly. So that kind of brings us up to this Trump thing, because now El Chapo is supposedly threatening Trump, and Trump went and ratted on him to the FBI, and he's like, oh, they're giving death threats out to me, and it's El Chapo, you're gonna kill me. And I mean, I hate to sound cynical, but I wouldn't lose sleep over it. But
yeah, the dude wants to come out with the most racist rhetoric we've heard from a mainstream politician in, you know, decades and decades, and then he wants us to sit here and whine. And what a coward!
Why doesn't he just buy like a multi-billion or multi-million dollar security team and apparatus and surround himself and stop being a little bitch?
Yeah, well said. He's the worst, man. Donald Trump, fuck that.
And he has no chance. You know, that's the, let's just face it, he's got no chance. And this is all part of the script. You know, this is all part of the show that they call the U.S. electoral system and stuff. But you know what he has done is inflamed a lot of, you know, tensions. He's caused a lot of Mexican people to rightly be outraged against him, and we're outraged as well. And I honestly, I plan on ignoring the guy because I know his candidacy is a joke. And I was trying to ignore him for a while, but then what I realized was that this shit that he's saying, this racist stuff, saying like all these Mexicans coming up are just a bunch of drug dealers and rapists and this, that, and the other.
Dude, it's psychological abuse, dude.
Yes, it's horrible what he's doing. But here's the thing that I was going to ignore it, but here's what really started worrying me, is that now his poll numbers are rising. This message, this racist message, is resonating with a lot of these Republicans, and that is scary.
Well, there's a lot of racism. Our country is, I would say, probably predominantly racist. I mean,
yeah, but they elect Obama.
Well, it's generational, though. Yeah. Remember that. Remember that it's generational. Racism is generational. Absolutely. And I can tell you that nobody in our generation has the feelings of the older generation. We just simply don't. We realize it's a fallacy. And you have to understand that this is a media concoction for a reason. Divide and conquer works. And they're going to keep playing that card. But you know what? They know it's not working in the younger generation. That's why you have stupid bullshit on MTV like White People or whatever that fucking stupid show that just came out is. They're trying to drive fake division. There's no more division in the younger generation. They're scared shitless.
You're right, dude. And the emperor wears no clothes anymore, man. They realize that they don't have a grip on a large portion of young people now. And the goal, the objective right now is to make, you know, people, young generation, they've just got to realize the crap that's being fed to us and just get out of it, man. Because if they can't control that younger generation, this whole narrative is just going to disappear, and the Republican Party is going to be extinct. I predict the Republican Party won't even exist in 30 years, in my opinion.
No, I think you're right, but I think they are going to win the next election. And I think this whole Trump thing, it falls right into Rubio's lap, and it's going to help Rubio get elected because he's going to sound like the only sane guy out there that's going to say, yeah, Trump's an idiot.
For the record, we have a bet. Me and Nick have a running bet now. I gave him odds on Rubio. I picked Clinton, unfortunately.
2-1 odds?
Yeah, it's 2-1.
You're picking Clinton for Republican Party? That's a damn good choice.
Clinton's going to be the...
That's a shoo-in.
Clinton's going to be the next Republican, and yeah.
And then Rubio's going to be the next Democrat, right?
Yeah.
That's a shoo-in.
Can't Clinton just say, fuck it, I'm starting the Republican Party and just come out with it?
She'd probably... Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. She's going to... You know, her logo, her banner logo will probably have the Monsanto sign in there.
Well, you know, one of the comments that I want to say about Trump, in a way, he kind of did us a favor because the timing is right also. I mean, he disrespected us, obviously, and really crucified us. But he did do us a little favor where now the Latinos everywhere are united again, fighting for the cause and stuff like that, because we just had a march up here in L.A. on DACA and stuff like that on Saturday. And it was really, you know, and then on Friday we went over there to make some noise down in Brentwood, where obviously Donald Trump is and stuff like that and stuff. And then, of course, he goes to the second most racist state in the union, which is Arizona, and he meets a couple other racists up there, you know, Brewer and Joe Arpaio. That and with him, for me, was personal because he told me directly last year when I was up there, you know, he pointed me out in front of the meeting, told me to go back to where I came from, Mexico. He says, go back. You need to go back, you know. And like, wow, you know, so I never forgot that guy, seriously. I couldn't believe it, you know, and it just couldn't believe it. I mean, it just, and this guy, you know, pretty much knows who the leaders are, but not being from Arizona, to point me out, I said, man, this guy's probably keeping an eye on me from Arizona all the way to L.A., you know, because, I mean, pointed me out completely, you know. So I never forgot that and stuff like that. But Arizona, second, you know, most racist state in the union, and of course you guys know the number one, which one number one is Texas, you know, especially for Latinos, you know.
Yeah, man. And this Sheriff Joe guy, he's like a hero to the Tea Party. They call him the toughest sheriff in the country. But he's just another racist dude. That's all he is. He's racist. He's not racist against black people, but he's racist against Mexicans. But we have an article up today on the anti-media about Trump. And the title is "The More Racist Donald Trump Gets, the Higher He Rises in the Polls." And we kind of go out there to dispel some of these myths that he puts out there, because, you know, the stuff that Trump says, it's a refined message. These are emotional talking points that the racist right has been, you know, refining for several years now. But, you know, he comes out and he says, you know, they're sending all their criminals up here to come destroy the country, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, everything that he says, they're nothing more than just reactionary, emotional-based talking points, because they're not based in reality. And we have a chart here in the article on the anti-media from the Pew Research Center. It actually shows that the immigrants that come into this country are less likely to commit criminal acts than the people that are born here, dude. And I'm not saying that, oh, yeah, the native-born American people are bad or anything like that. And sure, yeah, a lot of them are. But what I'm trying to say here is that the immigrants that are coming up into this country aren't coming here to come up and steal granny's purse. They're not coming to rape your little sister. They're coming here to find a job. They're coming here to have a better life and work and contribute.
And quite frankly, to do a lot of the jobs that a lot of Americans feel they're too good for because they're entitled, you know?
Exactly. And so not only do we make the point here in our article that the immigrants that are coming into this country, not just from Mexico, but immigrants in general, they're not criminals. In fact, they're less likely to commit criminal acts than the average American. But they're also adding to the economy. They're not stealing people's jobs on a massive scale. They're adding to the economy. It's a net positive. It's helping our economy because they're coming here, they're contributing, they're working, they're paying taxes, whether through sales taxes or otherwise, and they're creating jobs and they're spending their money, they're buying stuff at the store. And from all the research that's been done, and I pull a quote out of this report from the Manhattan Institute in this article, and it's a compilation of literally like 40 studies that show that immigrants, whether they're undocumented or not, doesn't really matter, because they're adding to the economy and making everybody else better off by coming here. They're not taking from the economy, like, and these emotionally based talking points that Trump likes to talk about, and all of the supporters, where it's like, oh, all these immigrants are coming here and they're just going on welfare and they're getting all this free junk and they're getting free health care and they're getting all this free stuff. Dude, that shit is not true at all. It's a myth. And Trump is given a pass by the media. He's allowed to get away with saying this shit, even though it's all lies. You know, and I posted the article today, and I even shared it on my personal page, and I literally thought that there was nobody dumb enough on my own personal friends list to support Trump, but I was wrong. I get these people commenting like, well, you got to give it to him for telling it how it is. He's just speaking the truth. It's like, if he was speaking the truth, then yeah, I'd give him that benefit. But he's not. He's speaking lies. He's talking out of his ass.
Who are your what kind of people are you friends with? Man? Who are you going to the
I accept with? Friend I accept friend requests from people.
Well, you went to Vegas and met some like really like, you know, sociopathic people like the craps dude.
Look, I'll approve friend requests if we have a few mutual friends. If I don't have any few mutual friends, and I what I do when I get friend requests, I click on them and if the profile is only like a month old and it's like a half naked woman, then I automatically like reject those requests.
I'm glad you have a good screening.
But if their profile looks like it's at least a couple years old and we have a few mutual friends, I'll approve the friend request.
If you support Donald Trump, you're a sociopath.
I'm sorry, but you're right, dude. I mean, if you buy into Donald Trump shit, you're effing
furthermore,
sheep.
I don't even want to talk to you. I don't even want to have the debate with you. If you support Donald Trump, you're a sociopath. And yeah, I don't want to debate you about it, but you're a sociopath.
I mean, I couldn't debate people on my own personal profile. I was just calling people idiots. Yeah. Normally, I don't do that, dude. I don't stoop to that level. But
well,
if you support Trump, you're an idiot.
With sociopath, because it sounds smarter, you know?
I mean, even his hair is fake. He doesn't even have real hair.
Yeah, even his hair is sociopathic.
Well, one of the things with Trump that basically, you know, took a hit when he said that, it was, you know, we were already sensitive, a lot of us, because we came down to Murrieta and I hadn't been called a wetback in a long time, and I got called three times by the Tea Party down there, and Bigot and all these, I mean, you name it, they were calling me, you know, and stuff like that. And the 1 year anniversary down in Murrieta, you know, a sleeping town supposedly, but now it's not a sleeping town anymore. Everybody knows where Murrieta is in L.A. because of that incident a year ago, and then the way that I started my month is for the anniversary, July the 1st, and stuff like that, and I'm like, wow, that's a lot of hate out there and stuff like that, you know?
Sorry.
So it just,
that sucks,
those
man.
Things were just completely, yeah, it was really awful, because it's way past immigration, Jake, Nick, and DV, you know? It's way past immigration. It's more about the hate and stuff, and then, of course, the flag comes into play and stuff like that, and I'm keeping my eye on Rubio, but I'm keeping my eye more on Cruz. I think Cruz is one of the most dangerous Latinos running for office right now, to be honest with you. And then this crazy idiot pops up. So, we, you know, you can imagine, that threw me for a curve.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's horrible, dude. And yeah, I was mentioning this a couple months ago to my friends. You know, back during the – who's that guy? Was he from the Clippers or whatever? That guy, the owner of the Clippers?
Donald Sterling.
Yeah, he said something about black people that was really racist.
Yeah, he said he didn't want black people at the games.
Yeah, and he got destroyed. He got destroyed
yeah,
by the media, right?
He got his team taken
but then
from
you,
him,
But
yeah.
then you get these other guys, they come out and they say stuff against Mexicans, and they basically get a free pass, you know? And so, you know, basically the message that's being sent out there right now is that it's okay to be racist against Mexicans. You know, you can't be racist against black people anymore, but it's okay to be racist against Mexican people, dude. And then Trump kind of perfectly
impulsive.
Punctuates that point, dude. And it's so true, is that now Mexicans are now the new punching bag, dude. And that all these racists that are out there, they're able to punch on Mexicans and they're able to kind of get away with it and make jokes about it.
If Donald Trump had said similar remarks about black people that he said about Mexicans, he would be...
He would have already bowed out of the race.
He would be out of... He wouldn't... I mean, well, he's already been disenfranchised from NBC and actually wrote an article about that for the site. But, you know, Univision separated with him. But, I mean, my God, I mean, it's the least we can do. But this guy is getting airtime, that he's getting... He's filling the airwaves with hate speech right now. I mean, this guy is he's a scourge. And yeah, like Nick, you know, Nick wanted, you know, you didn't want to give this guy
I didn't want to give him the time of day.
Time of day, and you didn't for a while. But at a certain point, the guy's, you know, he's just engaging in straight up psychological hate speech, psychological warfare, and it's just like the dude's got to be taken down.
Yeah,
and taken down. And when I say taken down, I mean, you know, get him out of there.
El Chapo, we're talking about you, dude. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm not advocating for anything, but I'm saying the guy shouldn't be speaking.
So, you know, Trump in the end is somewhat of a distraction, but
yeah,
but there's a big asterisk here. And Manny already mentioned Ted Cruz, which is the Cuban Canadian American guy that's running for president. But Ted Cruz, I don't think, is a serious candidate, just like Trump isn't a serious candidate. But there is one guy that's going to really benefit from this whole Trump controversy, and that's Marco Rubio. And this is where the real danger comes into play, because as far as I'm concerned, and I've said it on the show, and like Jake mentioned earlier, I'm willing to put money on this, that Rubio becomes the next president. But he is now in a position to challenge Trump when these debates finally start and make Trump look like a total idiot, and then all of a sudden all these Hispanic Latino voters are going to say, oh my god, Marco Rubio, he's a Hispanic, he speaks Spanish, and he's against Trump, you know,
man,
what I'm saying?
That's a pay-per-view
and this
event right there.
Exactly, dude. And this is where we start getting into the danger zone, because everything that Trump is doing, and keep in mind, dude, I'm very cynical when it comes to the electoral process. I don't think democracy is viable. I don't believe in U.S. democratic process. I don't believe in the U.S. electoral system, because it's so far gone and it's so far corrupted. I'm so cynical that I think this whole Trump thing is orchestrated in order to put the election into Marco Rubio's lap, dude.
Me too.
And so, you know, the only person that stands to benefit from from Trump's horrible rhetoric is Rubio.
It's
because
a great theory.
Hillary Clinton is not going to benefit from it. Bernie Sanders is not going to benefit from it. Jeb Bush is not going to really benefit from this, even though his wife is
messing. You're underestimating the megalomaniac tendencies of a billionaire who wants his voice out there, you know? Like, so, I mean, so your theory would be that the Republican Party has some kind of, well, of course, I agree with you that there is a kind of a narrative that's being simultaneously created by a number of different parties at the behest of larger power interests, like the Bilderberg. Who attended Bilderberg? Do we know the 2015 list?
The list is out there, man. And unfortunately, there's a dude with my same last name that went. And I'm like, oh, shit. And then I got these.
DB, do you know who attended Bilderberg this year?
Yeah, I think it was Nick Burnaby Sr.
Nick Burnaby, Jake Anderson, Manny Aguilar, and DB Schwartz, I think.
I mean, I know you don't know the full roster, but, like, was Donald Trump there? Was Rubio there?
No. No. Neither.
No, those guys weren't there. They won't be there until next year, man.
There's not a lot of new people on the list. Like, it's
people have figured out it how on the radar they are now. Right?
Yeah, now Bilderberg now is no. It's not what it used to be, bro. Now Alex Jones got a hold of it.
Alex Jones screwed it all up.
Yeah,
he actually messed it up.
Yeah,
now we can't look at it.
And for that, like, and you know, I've got my own, you know, to say the least, disagreements with Alex Jones, but.
Yeah.
He, you know, he did shed a lot of light on the Bilderberg thing, and now they've shipped. You know, now they got another secret meeting that they attended that no one knows the name of, or no one knows where it's at.
He should have been more subtle about it. Anyway, we have sidetracked here.
But yeah, man, I really do think this is a kind of an orchestrated thing to hand the election over to Marco Rubio. I don't think the Democrats have even the slightest chance, just because Obama's already been in power for 8 years, and you know, there's a lot of people that still have beef with Obama. His rating has been pretty low, except until last month. His rating came up a little bit because of the whole, you know, the gay marriage thing at the Supreme Court, and you know, a few other things. Now he's commuting the
sentences.
He's commuting the sentences for the nonviolent drug offenders and stuff.
He's pushing some executive orders that are good, but we knew, you know, 3 months into office, we looked into his eyes, and we knew that he had gotten the talking to. And you know, I don't know.
Yeah, man. DB, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say I came across this kind of long-term plan that I guess they'd been trying to get going with Rex 84 or something like that, where it was going to be this NAFTA on steroids, and it was going to be a physical NAFTA, not just trade. And what I mean by that is I'm intending to give you like a conspiracy theory here, and this is why Marco Rubio would win.
Go ahead.
We're going to have blanket amnesty for immigration, right? There's going to be an upheaval, but there's not anything you're going to be able to do about it. For the expressed the only reason they'll do this is so we have such a massive amount of manpower for a military that we will literally go all the way down to the Arctic and take everything all the way down south.
Okay.
I mean, damn, dude. You know, you never know, man. I honestly think that, you know, a lot of the immigration is needed, bro. Because, you know, the thing is that U.S. is headed in the same exact path that Greece is headed in, dude. We're getting
only pockets, though, Nick. Well, only pockets. Only pockets of the U.S. You have to know that certain places are going to be, like, just fine. New York City is going to get bad, maybe, but, I mean, there's places that are going to be just fine, and it's going to be an uneven breakdown.
Well, I think that we're headed in the same direction as Greece, and then, you know, we talked about it recently about Puerto Rico, to the point where we got this baby boomer generation that's coming to maturity, that is going to need a bunch of these entitlements and a bunch of this Social Security and a bunch of this Medicare and medical stuff. And who's going to pay for all this shit? Well, the population of Native American, not Native Americans, people born in America has been pretty much plateauing. You know, it's pretty much leveled off. People born in the U.S. aren't having many kids anymore. So the U.S. actually needs immigrants to come in to save the system. If the immigrants weren't coming in, who in the hell's going to pay into this Social Security shit if they don't start, you know, giving, like you said, blanket amnesty to every immigrant that comes to this country, whether legally or illegally? You know, they need these people to keep the system afloat because they've squandered all the other money that people have put in. I mean, shit, people assume that they put in the Social Security and that money actually sits there in some account, and it like accrues interest and stuff, and that later on you get your own money back. No, that's not the case, dude. The case is actually that that money's already been spent, so they have to bring in a lot of new people to try to, you know, fortify all the coffers to make sure that they can pay for all these old people. Otherwise, the whole system collapses, dude. So that they go into all these countries, they destabilize these countries, and it's been going on in Latin America for decades. In the Middle East and all these other places, you know, when you destroy a country, you go in and you bomb the shit out of a country like Iraq. Well, guess what happens? A bunch of those Iraqi people want to come over to the U.S. You go into Mexico and you put in NAFTA and you put in the drug war. Well, guess what? You destroy the economy. You make it so violent that the people want to escape. Well, they all want to come to the U.S. You go and overthrow the governments in Guatemala, Nicaragua, Colombia, and all these places. Well, guess what? All those people are going to want to come to the U.S. And the U.S., we need that bolstered – we need this bolstered population in order to pay for all this shit that these guys have been putting us through all this time and to fund this baby boomer population, man.
You know? Very true. Absolutely. Very true. You know, I just – I'm talking about the immigration and all that stuff. One of the things that I'm really sad that's happening, I was just in contact – actually, I was on the phone with him. You know, we have Skype, I should say, for an hour the Dominican Republic. I just can't believe how crazy the government down there and the propaganda that they're selling to the Dominicans down there and telling them how bad the people from Haiti are so that they can, you know, push them out the door and stuff like that. But they're not doing it humane-wise and stuff like that. They don't have ambulances, doctors. They don't have water out there for them. They have them sitting out there in the sun with no water and stuff like that. I mean, that's one of the most inhumane things I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, man, what's going on out there is crazy in the Dominican, dude. I've seen some videos, and they're just treating the mostly black Haitian people that are there, not even the immigrants, man. The people that have been there for several generations are getting treated like shit, dude. And
it's so strange too, because it's a colony, Nick, and the colonial masters are telling they've created a caste system among former slave colony. It's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, man, and here's the other thing, dude, because, you know, the whole world, it's not, you know, everyone in the U.S., especially the millennial generation, we all kind of feel this pain in the economy, dude. Everyone, especially all the people out there listening that got college degrees and went to college. Jake, I know you went to college. DB, I know you went to college. I did some college. SM Gibson went to college. I mean, a lot of us went to college, dude, and at the same time, we're just basically screwed when it comes to the economy, dude. And so we all feel the pain. We all know that something's wrong with the economy.
We're not the only generation, dude.
No, we're not the only ones. And you know what? The U.S. isn't the only country experiencing this, dude. It's all around the world, dude. And this whole thing in the Dominican, where they're cracking down on the Haitian people there, it's all based on economics, dude. And you know, they're struggling economically because they're bureaucrats. And because of the Monroe Doctrine and whether...
It's such a fucking sickening... I mean, it's a sickening prospect where we're putting kids into debt to be indoctrinated into a system that's going to not only further cause them to be in debt, but to also contribute to industries that are further indebting the country. I mean, it's the most... I mean, it's... I don't even know what the word to describe it is.
Well, here's the thing, dude. And because... This racism, dude, is not just here in the U.S. It's not just in the Dominican. Greece, dude. Greece is, because their economy is so messed up. See, this is what these bureaucrats do, bro. They take advantage of us. They put us in these very compromised situations economically where we're living paycheck to paycheck. What was the stat? 73% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck,
yeah,
something like that.
Such a ridiculous.
So what they do, instead of saying, oh, you know what? Yeah, we're the problem. It's the Federal Reserve. It's the Congress. It's the executive branch squandering your money on these stupid wars and all this other crap. No, it's the Mexicans' fault. All these Mexicans that are coming up here are taking your jobs. Oh. That's why the economy
is
messed up. Also, we need to work more out. Jeb Bush wants us to work more out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There we go.
All you got to do is work more hours, bro. Fix the economy that way.
A lot of people are already working 10 to 12 hours. Let's work more hours. Go to hell, Jeb Bush. He's frick.
That statement just single-handedly killed his candidacy among most people.
I agree with you, dude. That
because the only thing all people care about is the economy. So once you start telling them we need to work more, people are like, fuck that.
What's the old saying? It's the economy, stupid.
Exactly.
Right.
So, in Greece, dude, the racism there is crazy, bro. You wouldn't believe. Anti-immigrant. They're trying to kick everyone out that doesn't look like
a Greek. There was an Olympic athlete at the last Olympic Games that came out and said some ridiculous thing about Africans and got kicked off the team. Yeah, no, racism is rampant in Greece.
Yeah, man. In France, now there's been a record number of anti-Semitic attacks, dude. They're going after the Jews in France. And in the UK, they've developed this crazy anti-immigrant racist attitude. All throughout Europe, I'm sure everyone's heard about all these people trying to escape Libya and stuff, you know, hopping on these boats. Yeah, have you heard about these immigrant boats? A lot of them have been sinking, a bunch of people dying, and they get turned away at the ports. A bunch of people are trying to escape all these countries that our foreign policy has been destroying. But they're trying to enter into these other countries where the economy has already been squandered away by the bureaucrats. And so the people, the powers that be, of course, they're not going to take blame. They're not going to say, oh, yeah, it's us. It's the World Bank. It's us. It's the IMF. We're the ones that caused all these problems in Greece and in Italy and in Spain and in the UK. No, the IMF, the World Bank, these are the guys that help control the politicians. And they're all the same dudes that also control the media. They blame it on the immigrant. No, the Mexicans are the ones that destroyed the economy. It's not the fact that we spent, you know, $6 trillion trying to fix Iraq and take their oil and stuff. No,
that's
no,
the day
not.
We should be waiting for is the day that the IMF, the World Bank, and all the corporations, they release a joint statement saying, hey, sorry, you're right. We've been completely screwing the world over. We're relinquishing and divesting all of our properties to the people. And world peace is at hand. I mean, every day I wake up and I hope to see that tweet. But
there's only one way that would ever come about, and we all know what that would take. And that's the shitty part is it's gonna probably come to that, dude.
Well, what do you mean? Expand further, sir.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're on top of the world and you have all the money you'll ever need, and you're playing God now, you're not gonna just give that up, no matter what.
No.
So we're just going to have to either take it away or they're just going to kill us slow.
There's a breakaway civilization going on right now. I'm working on an article about it. And
are they underground?
It's an end game. I mean, it's underground and it's in space. I mean, it's documented. I mean, it's happening, dude. It's the elite. They're so elite. It's such a small percentage now. It's beyond what we can imagine right now. But you know, to bring it back to, you know, to what we can do as individuals, and me and Nick were talking a little bit earlier about how, you know, the quote unquote revolution, you know, has to happen at a personal level. And you know, Nick, you worded it better, which is that, you know, something to the effect of, you know, we have to take responsibility as individuals to change our own situation, to make important decisions as individuals, and to affect our families and our communities around us. And I think this is a theme we try to hit often.
Exactly, here, man. You know? And it's so hard to get, like, you know, it's hard enough to get 10 activists together and sit there and sit in one room and try to agree on like five things.
Yeah.
No, dude, it's just not going to happen, dude. It's going to be a bitter fight, and it's going to be like, you know, and so, you know, the whole thing is, I don't think we need to get a million people together to believe the same thing. We just need to get enough people to understand that we don't have to believe the same thing. We can all be different.
Right.
We can all agree. We can all have different ideologies and practice different ideas. But the main thing is that we don't need other people telling us what ideologies and what ideas we need to deal with. Now, back to this immigration thing, man, because I want to strike a tone back to the article about how immigration boosts economics. Immigration is a boost to economic. I don't care what country you're at. I don't care if you're in London and you got a bunch of people from Africa coming in, or a bunch of people from the Middle East. I don't care if you're in the U.S. and you got a bunch of people from Mexico, Guatemala coming up. You know, immigration is a boost to economics no matter which way you slice it and dice it, no matter which way you cut it. But the point I want to make here, dude, and the reason I bring all this stuff up is that racism or anti-immigrant ideas, anybody that buys into that shit, you are a pawn of the powers that be. You are being played by the fools that are really killing your economy. You know what I mean? Because almost all this racism, xenophobia, Islamophobia, whatever you want to call it, it doesn't matter. It all comes down to economics, and the powers that be want to shift the blame away from themselves and blame it on the unknown. The unknown is the immigrant, the people that you don't know who they are, you don't know what they practice. They want you to blame them because it's better that you fight against each other and fight against other people that are in the same basic class as you are, rather than turn your aim against the real culprit, which is the powers that be, the bureaucracy, the banking system, the you know, the central banks, all that stuff, the IMF, the World Bank. These are the people that have been raiding the economy and jacking everybody's money and stealing your productivity and more or less putting you into debt slavery. They're the problem, not the immigrants coming in helping your economy. They are the people that you want to welcome into your countries. You know what I'm saying? And so anybody that buys into this shit, I'm sorry to say it, dude, but you are probably a simpleton. You are most likely just somebody that is just being played by your mainstream media, wherever you're at, wherever you live. And
this is the most harsh Nick has ever.
Yeah, man. And it gets me really passionate, dude, because I live here in San Diego, dude, and even more precise, we're in Chula Vista, which is very in a very major way is an immigrant community, dude. We live in a place where I'd say at least 25% of the people that live in this town where I live are probably undocumented immigrants. But you know, I'm sitting here looking out the window right now, and I don't see any immigrants out there stealing my jobs. I don't see them out there raping women. In fact, we have in San Diego County, we have a very, very low crime rate, and we have one of the highest percentages of immigrants in the entire country.
For the record, if we did see that, we would go out there and we would intervene.
You know what I'm saying? And all of my friends are most of my friends are Mexican, dude. And I take high offense when people talk shit like that, like Trump is. And I take even more offense when these idiots buy into what he's saying, dude. And that's what I want to say, dude, is that if you buy into the shit Trump says, I'm sorry to say it, but you're probably an idiot.
I'll go beyond that. You're an idiot and you're an enemy, and your days are numbered.
And it's sad because these poor conservative guys, they know that they've kind of lost the battle on the social issues, but they take pride in being like wise economically.
Fiscally, Donald Trump is running these corporate. It's like Mitt Romney, he's run a corporation. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to.
I'll bankrupt us quicker than you can ever believe.
Yeah. I'm gonna fix the derivatives so that the banks make a bunch of money and screw over the economy. Oh, God bless you. Oh, you're so good at tricking the economy and defrauding the American people and looting the country of its money. God bless you. You sick economics. Mitt Romney and Donald Trump, go to hell. You're sociopaths. You're on the wrong side of history. When history looks back on you, you're gonna be looked at as fascists, as fucking insane people. They don't even get it. They don't get it because they're so tied up in their egos.
I can't tell you how many quote-unquote moderate people I've met around here in San Diego that are like, you know, I agree with the Democrats on social issues, but I agree with the Republicans on economic stuff.
Oh, yeah, no, it's me too.
You
know, yeah.
So you're a Republican, so vote for Clinton.
Pride themselves on economics and...
Look at the numbers,
in
man.
Very few
to do
ways.
Is look at the numbers, man. Like, look, I am not. I'm a recovering Democrat. You look at the numbers on the jobs added. Democrats, it's exponential compared to Republicans. Whatever false bubble economy you want to look at, and look, I'm not saying I do not agree with NAFTA.
That was Clinton, right?
Yeah, I'm not supporting Clinton's NAFTA, but I'm saying if you want to look at raw statistical economic numbers, Republicans, I don't even know what they're talking about.
Now, here's the thing you got to keep in mind, too, because since this whole two-party thing's a theater,
yeah,
you know,
right.
Clinton
yeah.
is able to get away with NAFTA.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because
yeah.
the Republicans are the ones that probably jammed it through.
Right.
Just like the TPP. Look at the TPP. Obama is going to get away with the TPP. Because he comes off as, oh, he's a Democrat, and he's sane economically.
Even though strong voices in the Democratic Party, like Warren, are like, no, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Obama comes back gives a speech at Nike saying, I'm sorry, but she's just wrong on the issues.
You know something is completely bad when you got a sitting Democratic president, which can get away with a lot more stuff than a Republican can.
Right.
And you got the Republican Congress saying, supporting him all the way.
Yeah.
That's when you know that something is not right. You know what I'm
when
saying?
When there's bipartisanship, you know there's a larger than usual deception being
That's exact. That's
yeah.
what George Carlin
yeah,
was,
that was
saying,
George
man.
Carlin
and he was
quote,
so
yeah.
right, dude.
Yeah.
He's so right.
Well, how bad things are that people can brainwash you. All of a sudden, we've got Dark Chocolate Brothers that are going to join a chapter of the KKK. I mean, that just blew me away, yeah.
I mean, I don't doubt it, dude. You got there's that one Facebook sensation guy, the black guy out there waving the Confederate flag, dude, and all these conservative guys are latching onto him like, oh, see, look, there's a black guy waving the Confederate flag. We can't be racist anymore. You know, and these are the same people that say, well, we elected Obama. The country's not racist anymore. Race is no longer an issue. You know, and then you got the same people that are, you know, now you got the other side of the spectrum like, well, once we ban the Confederate flag, then basically we got no more racial problems in this country. It's like, dude, come on, let's get real. Let's talk about the real racism, not the superficial shit where we act like, oh, we got a black president, racism is gone, we get rid of the Confederate flag, racism is gone. No, dude, there is a huge racial disparity in this country. Black people, brown people are getting the short end of the stick, whether we're talking about at the corporate level, the government level, the educational level, man. That's where it really starts, dude, is like the minority schools, man, the people that are put through the school system. I was one of them. We get the short end of the stick, dude. They try to build us to be – they want us to work at McDonald's, dude. That's what they want us to do, and that's what I was taught in high school. It's like, dude, you're gonna be on – they told me I was going to be on an assembly line. I'm going to be manufacturing hamburgers for McDonald's and shit like this, dude. It's like my buddy that was in a middle-class neighborhood in North San Diego – is being taught entrepreneurship in 10th grade. And it's like, oh, you wonder where the disparity comes from. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's ingrained into us from childhood, dude. It's like, it's not something we can get away from by voting in a black president. It's not something we can get away from by banning the Confederate flag. These are systematic issues that are ingrained into you from the time you're a kid. And you don't just do away with it with one vote or with one action, dude. It's takes a conscious effort by the majority of our culture to actually finally do away with racism. Will we actually see an end of racism in the U.S.? Sometimes.
Yes.
Probably not, man. I mean.
No, we will, Nick.
Soon, but maybe in like 20, 40, 50 years, probably.
Well, hopefully. Our parents really weren't racist. I mean, at least mine weren't. Maybe their parents had that. But I mean, now it's as soon as they're gone, it kind of starts ending.
Yeah, I got a question for you three. It's not, for TV and Jake and Nick, and this is a question. Earlier, the Gardner family refused $5 million because they were going to sue the city of New York for $75, but now they budge on $5.9 million. What was that about?
Yeah, that's a good question, man. That's a big story, too.
And they were threatened.
Eric Gardner's family, you know, they were trying to get $75 million, and they settled for $5.9 million. But in the end, dude, the $5.9 million, it's a lot of money, but it doesn't bring back Eric Gardner. You know, it doesn't bring back.
That's not enough.
You know, choked this guy out because he was selling cigarettes.
You know, there's an art exhibit in New York. They did an art exhibit where they have a body that looks like Eric Gardner laid out, and the cops are mad. The local cops are mad about it. And what, you know, look at that. The cops are mad about an art exhibit showing a depiction of cops killing someone unjustly. I mean, it's sickening. Look it up. Look up Eric Gardner art exhibit. It's worth looking at.
I want to bring back to DB's point, man, because I think DB has a really good point there, dude, is that the younger generation, the internet generations, aren't going to be these typical, you know, we're not going to fall into this racial bullshit.
Yeah, some of them will.
Dylan,
I don't see it, man. I really just don't. I do hang out with people mostly younger than me, sometimes a decade younger than me, man. And I'm just saying, it's not there anymore. Like, it may be a funny joke to them in some way, but there's no hatred anymore among differences of culture even. I mean, I'm out here in the Twin Cities, and you're getting Indians and Muslims that would ordinarily fight in India, and they're hanging out. I mean, this culture, if there's one positive thing about it, it's that it is inclusive.
We're probably one of the most distracted generations, but we're also not as propagated by this corporate crap. And like the whole point I was bringing up earlier about how they always like to pin us against each other, one race against the next or one class against the next. I don't think the younger generations are falling for that as much, but we are definitely distracted by it like no other.
Yeah, and they're also dumber. I mean, unfortunately, like
I agree with.
Hate to sound that, you know, harsh about it, but you know, they're just a lot of younger people just simply aren't as aware of history as older generation, and maybe that's for the better. I mean, who knows? But you know, they don't know what, you know, a lot of young people don't know what the Federal Reserve is. They don't know what TPP is. You know, they don't know what NAFTA is. And so while they may not be like racist, they don't understand maybe some of the giant systemic overarching injustices that are, you know, hurting us all, you know. So while the politics of personal identity may be getting a little bit more nuanced, I think some of the larger issues are actually getting more flooded with disinformation.
Yeah, man. Like, I literally don't know a person under 30 that is against gay marriage. I don't. I can't name one person that I know under 30 that's
against. No, and that's a good thing. I'm a huge, obviously. It's a huge, huge thing for gay people to have rights, and it's a punitive thing when they weren't able to get married. It's a financial issue, and everything. And good God, yeah, we need equal rights for minorities. But the fact of the matter is, the bigger issues than personal identity are things like TPP, and until people are educated enough to take this on in a real way, we're screwed.
And the TTIP,
DB,
too.
DB, do you agree with me on that?
Yeah, I mean, they're a distracted generation, and nobody can get jobs, so no one has any real pull, or they don't think they do. And, you know, that we have one of the most educated generations ever, and there's just nothing for them to do.
Right.
And I guess, you know, I don't know if I hate to say the powers that be because it's such a awful nomenclature to use, but I think they kind of get that. I think they kind of see this massive horde of people that actually could do things, but everything's just like kind of done, and that maybe we need to start pushing for this Star Trek generation. Otherwise, we're going to have like this world war. That's really the only options we have. We have to either pretend like we're going to get off the planet and start building crazy shit, yeah, or just duke it out. One or the other.
I'm a sci-fi man. A sci-fi fan, man. Let's mobilize a Trekkie revolution, dude. I mean, Star Trek actually is a, you know, kind of a socialist utopian.
It's logical.
Decentralized. You know, it's a more egalitarian community than Star Wars.
Well, remember, it came out of the ashes of World War III. If you're a Trekkie at all, you know that there was a World War III, and who was left was still fighting all these little civil wars, and then finally this dude made a warp drive.
You know, the the British government actually thought that Trekkies were a threat to their government. Did you hear about that? We wrote
they are.
About it on the anti-media. They actually took it as incredible.
Yeah.
I can't remember when it was. It was like a decade or a couple decades ago. The British government actually were worried that the Trekkie fans were going to start a revolution and take over the country. And they literally spent a lot of resources trying to make sure that didn't happen. So as crazy as that sounds, I mean, they took it seriously.
Well, the wealthiest would prefer that not happen. So there'd be less people to share in their marvelous future. They don't want like 12 billion people on the planet like there was in that future.
And that's what's going to happen by 2100, man. There's going to be 11 billion people on the planet.
Yep. And we can feed 12 billion with current tech, so...
Absolutely, we can.
Yeah.
Why not, you know?
It's just going to take a consciousness shift. That's what they're afraid of.
Right.
They're afraid of humanity to stop competing and start cooperating.
What I'm talking about, man, is that we need a consciousness shift, man. And is technology... Maybe technology is the answer to that.
Well, imagine if we don't compete and we cooperate. You know, imagine if you were allowed to pursue your passion. And you could take it to the fullest extent, and everybody in the whole world did the same thing, and that was the micro community. It was your passion.
Does that mean we need to work 16 hours a day, like Jed?
If you want, it's not going to be work. That future, there was really no work, right?
Absolutely. Well, that's the famous philosopher Marcuse said that work should be play, and that until we figure out a society in which work is play, we're never going to have equality.
But we can get there now. It's just they're hoarding all this tech, and they don't want us to share in there. And it's not even their discoveries. We put in the work, the public at large,
right,
put in the work. They bore the fruits of the labor of being basically the most ruthless individuals of all time.
Yeah, man, right? They just monopolize over the intellectual property and that, this, that, and the other. My grandfather, dude, was an inventor back in Detroit, back in the day, dude, and he invented a bunch of shit for these guys. And what happened to him, dude? He died poor, and he died, you know... miserable, dude, because he invented a bunch of shit for these guys, and they monopolized. They took his intellectual property, and they you know, in his contract or whatever, it's like, hey, dude, you got all these ideas, cool.
It's the free market.
You make them for us. We'll give you a decent wage until we're done, until you lose your usefulness, and then you know, then you're screwed. But we get to keep those patents forever.
That's the free market system. Doesn't work.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I mean, technically, it's not, dude, because it's kind of it's a monopolized system. You know, an intellectual property. It's a government-based kind of IP. Is a government copyrights and stuff. It's all government-protected stuff. And I don't agree with copyright and all.
Yeah, and that's why one of the anti-media shares its stuff.
Yeah, that's why we're creating
intellectual
commons,
property is. Creative Commons, we're going to work together. Tesla's opened their patents up. We got to work together. We can't be, you know, monopolizing intellectual property.
And so I'm kind of living that Trekkie future, man, where work is my play. I work all 24 hours a day. I work for the anti-media, and I write articles and edit articles and this, that, and the other. But it's, to me, it's not that bad. You know, it's not work. I enjoy doing it, you know, and so it's okay.
Then you're burned.
We're at the stage now where we got, like you said, we got the most educated generation ever, and at the same time, we got plenty of numbers.
Good night, guys. Why not this? Yo.
I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.